You know, change is all around us. Change is inevitable. Change is constantly on the move. And sometimes we like that and sometimes we don't. There's been a saying, it's been around for a while, about 2,500 years. It goes like this. I can say 2,500 years because before the internet, they wrote things down. The only constant in life is change. That's been around for a while. I know it looks new, it looks fresh, right? Looks cool, like I just stole it off the internet this week. But reality is that that saying has been around a long time. It's been attributed to many people and goes back hundreds, thousands of years, because the reality of part of our human experience is that we are constantly being confronted with change. Sometimes we enjoy that change. You know, we graduate, we move on to something new. That's awesome. We invite a new baby into the life of a family, and how awesome that can be. But there's all kinds of other changes that go on around us too, sometimes of our own doing, sometimes of just those around us, and they become more difficult for us to adjust to deal with. And so we have to figure out, what do we do with this idea of change? You know, Mark Twain, again, pre-internet, Mark Twain said this, "The only person who likes change is a baby with a wet diaper." And there's a lot of truth to that, because a lot of times we, instead of liking change, we tend to yearn for comfort, the comfort of familiarity, that sense of predictability, maybe even a little bit of control. And when that's what we really desire. And so this idea of change often runs against that, runs up against that desire we have for comfort. We are creatures of comfort. That is how we design our lives. Think about it. It's how we design our lives, to try to find ways that we can make ourselves feel more comfortable. And that's not really a bad thing. That's just simply the way it is. And with all the stuff going on in our world around us, we often get overwhelmed by change. I mean, just think, in just the last few years, honestly, few years. Now, for young ones, it's been all your life. Okay, I know this, Devin. But for those of us who are a little bit older, you know, the sense of, you know, we remember the advent of the internet. We remember life before smartphones. You know, in a couple of years, we'll say, gosh, how did we get along without AI? But all these things are challenging for us because they cause us to have to adapt to an ever-changing world. And sometimes that change is difficult for us. They also say that the more things change, what? The more things stay the same. And there is some truth in that as well. There's a lot of these truths that can be both true at the same time, that because of the human experience, change is constant all around us. But the human experience also at its core remains. We desire for connection. That doesn't change. You know, we desire for some sense of purpose and meaningfulness in our lives. We, as humans, we still screw up. Amen, right? We as humans still have a need and a desire to be forgiven. There is so much about our human experience that remains the same, even as everything around us seems to be constantly on the move. And so we have this battle between change and comfort, the comfort of familiarity and stability, and change. And what do we do with it? Well, if the essence of life, and I believe it is, the essence of life here in this fallen world is change, the reality is that the Christian life is also intended to be a life of change. Hear me on this. For all those who are comfort addicts and you want comfort and you don't want change, hear this, that Jesus said that you are going to have to change. The Bible reminds us over and over again that that is part of what it means for us to be followers of Jesus. That though our leaning is always going to be towards comfort and toward the familiar, towards that which we can control, the reality is what it means for us to be followers of God, be part of God's family, to be followers of Christ, is that we are to be constantly on the move, constantly in this process of change. In Romans 12, 2, I'll just go to this one quickly first before we move on to our main text of the day. But in Romans 12, 2, it says this, that we, all of us here, are not to conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but we are to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good and pleasing and perfect will. This idea of being transformed, this is the goal. We are to be not conformed, but to be transformed. And that word, here we go. We're going to have some fun here. I'm a Bible nerd. If you're a Bible nerd, come along with me. Here we go. That word in Romans 12:2 that is translated into our English as transformed is this word in the Greek, which is metamorphoste. Ah, repeat it after me, metamorphoste. Yes, this is a wonderful word. And guess what? Guess what kind of words we get from metamorphoste in our English language? Metamorphosis. And what is a metamorphosis? It is a complete and total change, isn't it? This is what Paul is talking about here. This is the goal of the Christian life, to constantly be metamorphosing, metamorphose, which is in its context, and this is a lot of silly stuff. If you're into language, this is cool. And if you're not, this is going right past you, and that's fine. It's a verb. It's in the present imperative passive tense, which means, and it's also in the Greek, they did this where it's second person plural in the verb tense itself. And so this means for all of y'all. Okay, this is a second person plural. That means all of y'all. And it means that this is present. It's going on now. It's an imperative, which means it continues to be going on. And it is passive, which means you don't get to be the one in charge of your change. It is someone else's doing that you need to be offering yourself up for the purpose of being changed. So to put it into really good English, to just understand what that word says in its Greek context, is to be constantly in a state of being changed. You don't get to do the change. And you don't get to be done with the change. The change doesn't get over. I don't get to a point where finally you say, hallelujah, I've been transformed. No, it is ongoing. It is constant. And that is how the Bible wants us to understand this process of life. That as we live in the reality of Easter, we celebrate the good news of that moment, right, of Christ overcoming death, of the grave being found empty, of death having no longer any power over us because we have a hope of eternity that has now been opened in that moment. But even as we celebrate that change, we are to be reminded that change is going to be our constant companion because God is in the process of continually working to change us. This is true for individuals. It's going to be true for groups. We'll see that in a moment. Because as we look back into the teaching of Jesus in Mark chapter 2, and we could look at Matthew, we could look at Luke, because they both tell the same story. But in Mark 2, Jesus says a few really critical things about what it means for us to be constantly in a state of being open to change in the way that God wants us to be changing. In Mark 2, Pharisees and John's disciples notice that they're doing some things that Jesus' disciples are not doing. In John 2, beginning at verse 18, it says, "Now John's disciples and the Pharisees were fasting. Some people came and asked Jesus, 'How is it that John's disciples and the disciples of the Pharisees are fasting, but your disciples are not?' Jesus answered, 'Can the guests of the bridegroom fast while he is with them? They cannot, so long as they have him with them. But the time will come when the bridegroom will be taken from them, and on that day they will fast.'" And now he gets into this idea of being pliable. Change is going to happen. Okay, so here it comes. In 21 it says, "No one sews a patch of unshrunk cloth on an old garment. Otherwise, the new piece will pull away from the old, making the tear worse." And no one pours new wine into old wine skins. Otherwise, the wine will burst the skins, and both the wine and the wine skins will be ruined. No, they pour new wine into the new wine skins. Any winemakers in the house? No. Okay, let's go back. Let's do a little history lesson here. Because back in the day, back when Jesus was around, this was a very common understanding. People made wine, okay? And when they would make the wine, they would take that new wine and they would put it in these wine skins, made probably from a goat, something like that, because the skin of the goat would have enough pliability that it could take the fermentation process of the wine. That way, when the gases and began in the process of fermentation, it wouldn't break the container, but rather it would be able to expand and allow that process to take place for the grape juice to turn into wine. Now, if you were to take that, and once that is done, then after that, the elasticity goes away from the skin. So you can't continue to use that skin over and over again, year after year after year. It has to be a new wine skin to take the new wine. Otherwise, it's going to break. Jesus is saying the same thing with us as people. And he's pointing this out to the Pharisees and to even John's disciples, that there is a new thing happening, this new kingdom of God that he's advancing, this new kingdom people that he's inviting us to become a part of, that this is going to be part of our DNA as well, that we need to be so pliable like a new wineskin that we'll be able to contain this new thing, this kingdom of God that is in our midst. And if we don't, if we become rigid, if we become non-elastic any longer, if we become so set in our ways, then we are going to be of no use any longer to the kingdom of God. How is that? Now, he can say that, and we can understand that historically, that he's talking about the Pharisees. But how is that still the same for us? It is easy for us because we are creatures of comfort, that we want things to be done in ways that we are familiar. As we gather with a church body, we look for a church where we feel comfortable, right? Any of us here feel comfortable at church today? Yes, good, I'm glad. I hope we all do. That's why we're here. You don't choose a church that you're not comfortable at. You find a church where you are comfortable. But soon as we get into that place and say that now my comfort is king, we are stepping into dangerous territory. We need to recognize that what God is up to for us is calling us still to a new thing. Yes, we just celebrated Easter, but that means that we are Easter people, and Easter people must be people who are open to the changes that God is doing new in our lives, new in our church, new in and around those who are near us. When we feel pressed by change, okay, we'll go two ways here. When we feel pressed by change, and change seems to be too much, that is God's invitation for us to draw closer to Him and His presence. Anyone feeling out of control, anyone feeling like this is just too nuts in this world around me, I need to draw closer to Him. But whenever we feel the opposite, and the opposite is going to be this, the gravity of the same. Whenever we feel that gravity, in fact, we probably won't feel it. How many of us feel gravity? We don't, unless we're falling off a roof or something. That's about the only time you feel it. You don't feel gravity, and we often don't feel the gravity of comfort either. We just naturally feel it. It's right. It feels good. But when we feel that gravity of the same, where comfort is king and our control of the situation feels really good to us, it is then that we are also invited into a deeper walk with Him. We are called not to remain changeless, not to remain in a static position, but to be constantly on the move. And this is hard for us, folks, because it causes us to get out of our comfort zones. What are our comfort zones? What makes it so difficult for us as a church to stay pliable, to stay elastic? It's difficult for us. What happens when something new, or we do something in a new way? What when there's a new experience, a fresh thing? You know, I love the fact, you know, Debbie mentioned the fact that we're having this this women's second annual. Woohoo! That means last year was the first annual. It is now a tradition. But beware of any tradition, Scott, because soon as we begin to make it a tradition and say this is how it's always done, we are in danger of no longer following after the Spirit, but locking into our comfort. So I'm going to suggest to us that we need to look at all of the things that we do as a body, all the things that we do as individuals, and say, is this where God would want me, or is it simply where God has brought me now? Where am I going to be launching out from this place? I love the fact that we're a part, that we've just started a new grief share group, because what grief share group says is that we can grow through the changes of life, even the hard changes of life. We don't have to be stuck where life has brought us. You know, I love the fact that we're a part of a ministry beyond our local church with the ladies at JMJ, because it says that even though you've been found in a crisis, that we can still grow through that crisis and beyond that crisis with the ability to move forward, that the things that have happened to us do not need to define us. I love the fact that we are able to offer, and I include everyone in this invitation to be a part of an ongoing small group or Bible study as we move through this year and into the summer, because this is where we begin to say we can still grow, that God is not finished with me yet. And so we need to evaluate. Am I so panicked by the changes around me? Am I so paralyzed by the changes around me that I need to draw closer to Christ because that is my assurance and that is my true comfort? Or am I in a place where I have created a comfort for myself, where this easy, the path of least resistance has led me to this place where I am no longer in a place of yearning and growing and developing and becoming who God wants for me to be? There is something really profound about this wineskins idea, because we see that Jesus is roughly saying that he is always going to be a new wine developing in us. How do we make room for the new, even as we celebrate what has already been? I'm going to leave it there. I'm not going to say what kind of change needs to be in your life. I'm not going to say what kind of change needs to be going on within our church life. I'm not going to say what kind of things do we need to hold very lightly, because those may be idols of our own creation rather than the goals of God's initiating within us. But I'm going to say, let's make that part of our prayer. Where is it that change feels hard? Why does that change feel hard? Is it because I am now losing control? And if that's the case, hallelujah, because that enables us then to trust God's hands and control all the more. So, Father, I just want to lift up our congregation today. We are all in the midst of change. Some are fighting it harder than others. Some find they feel like they're losing that battle. Or maybe we're in that place where we feel we have created enough of a routine that gives us a sense of comfort in this routine, and we defend that routine because it retains the sense, that false sense of control we think we have. Father, how would you grow us? In light of the power that you displayed on Easter, how would you transform us as individuals? How would you transform us as a church? What would be that next step of reaching out beyond the comfort zone of where we often hide to touch that person just beyond, to experience that something new and fresh that we have yet to go? Father, what that commitment level of what trust would look like if I were to step out further on that limb. Father, help us to know what you are inviting us to. and to be willing to step out as you call us forth. Father, we thank you for the fact that you are a transformational God. Thank you for taking the mess and promising to create something new and good out of it, taking death and giving us this opportunity for hope in eternity. Father, for giving us life and whatever it has brought us at this place to recognize that this story is not over. And Father, you are a God of change. For all those places, God, where we desire change, we yearn for change, we feel stuck by our circumstances, God, encourage us to know that you are a God of change. And for those places where we have built our walls to protect ourselves, Father, help us to see beyond, to lean into you as our protector, as well as our provider and as our director. God, continue to guide your people to rest in you and allow you to guide our steps. In Jesus' name, amen.